This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers.
Hello, backpackers. This is Bird Shooter. And tonight we're in the mountains surrounding Lake Burton, coming to you live with a view of the Chattahoochee National Forest in North Georgia. In episode number 47, we welcome back Therm Rider and Beer Run to continue a conversation about rookie mistakes. Both are veterans of this specific discussion, and once again we sit fireside and debate a few of the 52 common mistakes as listed in Backpacker Magazine. If you've heard this topic in episode 24 or in episode number 32, you'll be happy to know that these are additional mistakes that rookies make, and we have not analyzed them in previous podcasts. So these are new discussions, which include overconfidence, getting your friends lost in the backcountry, inadvertently smuggling banned items on airplanes, edibles, dork moves, and backcountry crimes of fashion. So kick back and brace yourself, because you may be educated and you likely will be entertained. But first, a quick shout out to the Teton Hammock Company. They've helped support the show recently, and you can learn more about their hammocks at tetonhammocks.com. That said, here's the show. All right, this is Bird Shooter. We are live from Lake Burton in northeastern Georgia. After hiking today to, do we want to name the trail? Because it was awesome.
Glassy, we'll leave it at that.
It was awesome. We went to a fire tower near the Chattahoochee National Forest. It was phenomenal. We had views like I didn't know were available in the southeast. Can you comment on that?
It was a perfect 360 of everything in northeast Georgia.
It was so good that I don't even want to totally give away the spot.
I would prefer that none of these Yankee carpetbagging pastures ever find out
about it. Well, are you referring to me again?
It's in between Lake Burton and Lake Seed, and that's about...
I mean, you found it, so
no, what I mean, can I say? Honestly, find it between there, and then you own it. So let's leave it at that.
It was phenomenal.
Best view I've ever seen.
There's only room for one
Georgia
car, so stay out, you Yankee bastards.
Okay, so we'll move on.
Wow.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to Therm Rider. First of all, Therm Rider, I got to give you ups because rookie mistakes 1 and 2 are very popular in the podcast series.
Woo-hoo.
You were a participant in both. Beer Run was a participant in number 2. So you guys are veterans. And you deserve to be in Rookie Mistakes number 3. So thank you, fellas, for coming back once again.
So I understand, like, in toilet terms, what number 1 means and what number 2 means. So exactly what is number 3? Is that like, so we're on the vomit episode, or what is this at this point?
Therm Rider, I will tell you that the reason that Rookie Mistakes 2 got cut to about 25 minutes is because you went off on some crazy tangents.
So the comment that I just made is a prime example of what had to be cut.
Yes.
Oh, good. Awesome. So we're getting off to a great start. Awesome. Let's go.
Well, so, yes. So I'm hoping we can actually make it for the full hour that I had planned, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, let's go 3. Let's see what we can do.
Well, for this episode, we're going to discuss some of the... rookie mistakes. Actually, Backpacker Magazine calls it the 52 common mistakes.
Oh, then they've made a big mistake.
just the way they've verbed it.
I'm sure they're advertising something.
But anyway.
Is there a Subaru Outback involved in this?
Well, you would have to listen to that was a different episode.
It was a gear episode.
Yeah, it was
sure
a gear episode.
Into everyone because they're paid. But
correct.
Anyway.
Correct. But, so we're not going to try to debate a bunch of the 52 that's already been discussed. We're going to discuss some new ones. I don't believe any of these have been discussed in-depthly in previous episodes.
I can tell you one thing, that no one wears Nike on the trail. Just I'm just putting it out there. Just if anyone needs to ask or has a question about it, Nike does not have any place on any trail, period.
So. I'm pretty sure, Thermrider, that you wore a Nike sports bra on our last outing.
If I see you on a trail wearing Nike or New Balance, I might have to throw you off the mountain. Just letting you know.
Now, when you say Nike, are you talking clothing? Are you talking shoes? What do you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. All of the above.
I swear he has
all
a
of the above.
I can already envision a lot of editing in this episode. So the first topic, gentlemen, is, and you guys were both on the Dakotas trip, and thank you for being participants in a Dakotas trip.
Thank you for inviting
us.
Yes.
Said episode.
It was a joint effort.
North and South Dakota, only a few months ago.
Very few people voluntarily go to North or South Dakota.
Yet you were both surprised in what North Dakota and South Dakota had to offer.
Yes, we were.
Is that fair to say?
From a hiking standpoint, they have a lot to offer. From a resource, making money, or any other fathomable way, sustainable way of life, no reason to ever go there.
Unless you want to service, that I found charming.
Unless you want to service One Power machines or you're into drilling for oil, there's no reason to be there. Or you want to man an unmanned, I don't know, nuclear missile that's hidden off in a silo somewhere. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's
basically what you're going to find.
That would be more exciting than riding a rapid on a thermarest.
Thermrider. Hey, can we be fair to North and South Dakota, though?
I found them very entertaining.
They blew me away, actually. All right, so we're gonna move into the first rookie mistake mentioned in Backpacker Magazine that you may or may not have done in North Dakota. Did you bring a Leatherman in your carry-on bag?
Excuse me?
A Leatherman. You guys know what a Leatherman is, right?
Yeah, that's something that no one should ever take into the backcountry.
I don't honestly know what a Leatherman is.
Are you kidding me?
It's a multi-tool.
Yes. You really do not know what a Leatherman is?
Why would I know that?
Exactly.
Why would I know that?
Are you from the Stone Age? What are you talking about?
What is a Leatherman? Describe it.
It's a multi-tool that has pliers.
It has pliers, a knife, scissors.
Okay. Again, why would I need to have that? Am I working on my car? Am I fixing a drainage leak? Why would I need to have any of that?
Do you normally pack a Swiss Army knife?
I pack one knife and that's it.
So a Swiss Army knife is basically a Leatherman with pliers.
No.
You mean a Leatherman?
A Leatherman is basically a retarded reason. If you can't let go of the common world, I might get out into the woods and might need to use my pliers for something. I can guarantee you, you're not going to need it. Wait, I might need a Phillips head for that. I can guarantee you, you won't. You know why? There's nothing to screw or nail or twist or unlock in the backcountry.
He has a point.
Just saying.
I've been backpacking for...
I need a knife.
Almost 40
years. I need a knife that cuts.
I've never once used a Leatherman.
I need a knife that cuts, that's reliable. That's all I need. That's all I need,
as
man.
As crazy and ranting as he is, I agree with him.
So I love my Leatherman. Let me just go on the record and say
that. Have you ever used Leatherman
all the
for
time?
Anything other than a knife?
All the time.
Oh,
for
my
what?
God. You're killing me.
Yes.
You're absolutely killing me.
For what? You have
me.
Used the pliers on your Leatherman.
Yes.
Ever.
I have. I use them all the time.
In what situation? Give me one example.
Like my hiking stick. It got screwed up. I had to twist right and left to get it to fit back together correctly.
And you need what part of the Leatherman that you couldn't do without?
I mean, they had pliers. I love the pliers.
By the way, why isn't your hiking...
Why would a pliers come into play in that situation?
My hiking stick is wood. If it stops working, it means it broke in half.
You guys are so old school. You're killing me.
I'm afraid you are deemed hereby from here on out a rookie.
You're calling me a rookie for using a Leatherman.
Only a rookie would take a Leatherman into the woods.
Man.
Way too heavy. Big old.
I have no use for a Leatherman or any of its kindred.
We have a heavy breathing dog that has just entered the episode.
It's not a bear.
Maybe a better question is, you have a Swiss Army knife, you have a knife, you have a Leatherman.
No. We clearly established you are the only one that has a Leatherman. So I didn't even know what the F that was. So,
answer your question, Mr. Bird Shooter.
So no one but
no,
Mr.
we
Bird
neither
Shooter
have ever been stupid enough to try and smuggle a knife onto the plane or any kind of tool.
I'm more of a minimalist, not a maximist.
So you guys have never accidentally had a knife on your carry-on?
No.
No, I've accidentally had a gun in my carry-on, but that's a different story.
A gun? Oh, that's on the list. It's coming up. And by the way, Thermite.
By the way, that wasn't accidental. It kind of happens to be in my pack all the time. So
you know the deep breathing of your dog.
Could
I have
be
to say, it's adding a lot of background excitement to the podcast. I just want to say.
Sorry.
Well,
the fact that I don't know what a Leatherman is means I've never used one. So I'm just saying.
So you guys have never carried a knife. Swiss Army knife, Leatherman on a plane.
I'm
We've established that.
No, because I don't carry one at all.
Okay, that would be.
Actually, I carry a penknife everywhere I go, but I've never tried to take it on a plane.
So the airlines have enough to deal with. They don't need people taking illegal weapons.
I think the TSA takes great pleasure in taking those objects and putting them in their stash and taking them home.
So a better question: have you guys ever tried to accidentally smuggle a can of stove gas on an airplane?
No.
Thermoriner?
No.
Really?
I know better.
That would
than that.
Be ludicrous.
Yeah, it's definitely illegal.
I do have a story to tell you, though, Mr. Birdshooter.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I was coming back from Denver, Colorado.
Who says that sound good?
Where one of our traveling companions had killed a bighorn sheep. a pronghorn sheep. And had severed the head and was bringing the head home as a trophy. And another of our traveling companions had a nail clipper in his pocket. The traveling companion with the nail clipper was shoved against the wall and frisked vociferously by the TSA, while the giant animal head passed smoothly through the metal detector with no questions asked. Just a tidbit.
Oh, and hey, Thermoriner, I just got to tell you, your dog's deep breathing near the microphone.
I think you need to drink.
It's very powerful. So, hey, another question. Have you guys ever tried to take a gun on an airline?
No, sir.
Never.
Never?
No.
Okay. Wait, you mean a checked gun or a...
check gun.
It's so difficult. I just don't do it. It's not worth it.
Okay. All right. So a rookie mistake would be trying to take one of those devices.
I mean, I have.
You mean
I'm
like
severed
animal head?
I'm licensed everything else, but they make it so difficult now. It's just. It's not worth messing with.
That's fair.
Unless you want to be at the airport like 3 hours before your flight, no, it's not worth it.
That's probably what you're going to get. All right. So then, moving on. Deep bug spray. We live in the South. Yeah. Most people that go backpacking, they deal with bugs, right? Especially the further north you go. Have you ever stuck a can of bug spray in your backpack and it leaked all over the place?
No.
Really?
I don't take bug spray into the woods.
I typically take a big wad of toilet paper. I wet it, take the deet, shove it right in there, and then make it kind of like a suppository.
That sounds invasive.
Is that possible?
I'm kidding. I don't use DEET at all because I think DEET's really bad for you. So I don't use DEET at all.
What about insect repellent?
I do use insect repellent.
Okay. Have you ever tried to take a can of insect repellent on an airplane, like pressurized?
Only in checked not unchecked.
You guys are good, man. You are not violating the rookie mistakes here. Impressive.
Well, we're not rookies.
Yes. Okay.
We haven't
okay,
been rookies course. For 37 years.
So what about having a bottle of insect repellent in your backpack? Is it, have you ever done that and it leaked all over the place?
No.
No.
Seriously?
No.
You got to be kidding me.
Because I normally spray before I get on the trail, and then I don't take it with me.
That can be taken
out. I just hose myself down before I hike, and I don't even take it with me.
Yeah, I never take it with me.
I will tell you that I've had insect...
Because it's like you're not going to take a shower on the trail. Just saying.
I always take insect repellent. And a lot of the times it has DEET in it, and I've had it leak in my pack, and it's
not
good.
Well, there's a word for that. It starts with a B.
A B?
It ends with an H.
I believe there might be an I in the middle somewhere.
Might be. Or a C-H. I'm just saying.
I thought you were going to hit me with a rookie mistake. But.
No.
I'm going to be a lot harsher than that. Come on.
So I have been known to take a plastic bag.
You're getting double teamed over here.
I seem to be. I've been known to take a plastic bag and put my insect repellent in it so it doesn't leak all over my backpack.
So that's why
I believe what he was getting at earlier, the little name that he wanted to call you might be still fitting.
Oh, my God. Watch You're me killing dip. Me.
Watch me, Nana. Watch me whip.
I'm not
whip.
Sure about Watch what's me, going Nana. On here. I don't approve of that at all. But.
All right. Well, let me ask another question.
That's enough thermometer. I think it's warm enough out here.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's the deep heat. So on the same topic... We'll talk about sunscreen for a second. You guys have all taken sunscreen on the trail, right?
No.
Really? You never take sunscreen?
No.
What if you were in, like,
I put it on at the trailhead. I don't take it with me again.
Really?
Nope.
Bird shooter. I'm as fair-skinned Irish as they come.
Okay.
Put it on before you
if
leave,
if you trace
baby.
My genealogy deep into the... recesses of history, you're gonna find fair-skinned Irish people, and yet I'm in the woods. There's trees, shade. I'll put a little sunscreen on before I go, and I'm good for the trip.
So now we're fortunate because we live in the southeast. There's a lot of tree cover, but what if you're above tree line and you're there's a lot of snow, which means reflection. You would definitely need sunscreen there.
I'm wearing clothes.
I'm gonna have
long sleeves and a hat on.
What about your face though?
I have some sunglasses.
We just hiked the Dakotas, and I put them like when we left the car.
Yeah.
We're gonna be hiking for 2 days, overnight, whatever. I don't reapply. The deal is, spray it on. Get some long sleeve.
Plus, in the Dakotas, within 12 steps, I had enough dust covering my body that no sun was going to penetrate that.
You have a point there.
So, the nature takes care of you if you take care of yourself.
I would actually encourage the listeners to take...
I don't know what Thermometer is doing right now, but I'm not sure that it's good for any of us.
Hey, can you...
By the way, find shade when you get...
If I had sunscreen now, in the middle of the night, I would put it on.
If there was ever a time to have sunscreen...
That's enough.
It's right now. Oh, my God, that's hot. Okay, we have a fire delay. Oh, that's brutal, man.
How about the rookie mistake of throwing too much fuel on the fire?
Let's talk about the rookie mistake of maintaining a proper fire.
The old branches that are like 3 years old, stacked up. Or so flammable. That's like napalm.
Wait, let me get this straight. You didn't have any idea that the pine that was dead that you threw on the fire.
3 years.
Hey, you're the one that went in outdoor fire. I said, let's do it indoor. You pushed for the outdoor. This is what happened.
That's not an outdoor fire. That's an outdoor inferno. I shit you not. He just overheated my computer.
I don't believe it. I mean, I don't doubt it.
I'm not kidding you. It's like gone. It's done. It'll come back. But,
is that hot?
Yes.
It's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes.
It's not working.
I am. Seriously?
Yeah.
So
it's
hot.
Out.
That's why I'm way the
Why
fuck
didn't
over
you
here?
Step back, man? Why did you move your computer?
Well, I thought I could ride it out, but apparently I can ride it out. My computer cannot. This might be the end of the podcast.
Sorry, man.
Okay. Well, now it came back, thank God, because right, it cooled off.
So what question are we? Can you ask us a legitimate question, please, that not a complete moron would do?
Well, these are
beyond rookie.
These are rookie mistakes, though.
No, these are just dumbass mistakes. These are not paying attention.
But it's way too much to ask that I regulate the heat of the fire, because I'm just doing my job, man.
I mean, there's a full moon and we can't see it for the glow of the fire.
You know what?
It just went out again.
Did it really?
My computer can't take
it. Odd, is it?
Apparently, it is. Well, I mean, if you feel the back of that.
I think you might need to back up.
Yeah, you might be too close.
Well, it's on again. Hold on a second.
Oh, God.
Man, Inferno. All right, so back to the discussion. So sunscreen, you guys don't normally carry sunscreen?
No.
I spray it all on before I go hiking. And I have a little stick that I can rub on whenever I feel like I might be getting hot. That's it.
But you do carry it?
No. I do not carry a big old canister of sunscreen.
Excuse me.
I'm talking about a little, little nose, tiny,
face stick.
Face stuff that if I feel like anywhere in my body's getting hot, that I can rub it on. But I'll load up on sunscreen before I leave, and then I don't have to reapply, because you're in the woods. Typically, if you're in the woods, there's cover.
But I don't hike
in the desert. Unless you're hiking in the desert, there's cover. You don't.
Endeavor will get you.
You got the tree cover. You don't need it. Why take it?
What is he drinking? All right, may I just say straight out, sunscreen's for pussies.
What?
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now.
Wow. That's
getting hot. Dude.
You guys are sounding like the rookies here.
We're not rookies. Have I ever been sunburned on a trip?
I don't know, man. You're a white guy.
Have you ever been on a trip with me where I moan and groan about being sunburned?
Well, we live in the East Coast, though. There's
I went
trees.
To the Dakotas in the friggin' Badlands with a beating sun at 96 degrees. I ran for beer through wild horses and dry, dusty, blistering sun.
I didn't wear sunscreen today.
I did not use sunscreen.
Not an ounce.
And I am as northern white person as they get.
You're pretty white.
My ancestors.
Okay, now here's the difference. Okay, for all of you
don't have sense enough to run around. Let's
dial it back though.
Outside.
Okay, come on, bird shooter, beer run, especially. You and I have been out in the sun all of our lives, right? Ever since. Way back in the day, where we were, our parents said, you know what, go outside and play. I don't want to see you until dark, right? Completely different day and age than today, right? Most of the people that are going out, that are venturing out in the woods, I hate to say it, are...
With their video game tans?
Are computer nerds, man. They got the green glow, white skin, right? Honestly, they need to double up on the 120, maybe 300% sunscreen, because I can walk out in the sun and not like burst in the flame. They probably can. I mean, honestly, those dudes. Okay, if you've never been out in the woods before, let's back it up and say yes. Put some 320 proof, the highest proof you possibly can, on your skin. Because, you know, like a potato chip, you're going to fry when the sun touches you.
Right.
I'm just saying. You got some virgin skin there, man. We have like 30 years of, you know, the sun hits us, it's not going to hurt us.
Bird shooter, I'll give you this.
You got skin that...
Before embarking on a trip, sure, spray yourself down. But don't weigh yourself down with sunscreen.
What if you're out there for multiple days?
Well, if you're in the desert, sure. Lather it up.
Okay. What if you're in a snowfield?
You're going to be wearing clothes. You don't need sunscreen.
What about your face?
You have a hat on if you're not an idiot.
What about your okay. nose?
I think what we're...
Whose nose ever really gets summer? Have you remember the old lifeguards with okay. their white noses?
Beer run, and bird shooter. I can say this. Why don't we just say this? Wear sunscreen appropriate to your complexion, and let's move on.
But don't carry it.
And let's just heavy. Move on. No, I mean, honestly, I could see a guy with a computer tan that's never been out in the woods.
Well, he's Dude, not going to go in the woods.
Honestly, you need to reapply every 5 seconds.
Are you sure about that?
You need to be spraying. You need to be hosing yourself down. It doesn't happen. Anyway.
What about sunglasses, though? I mean,
oh, if sunglasses are a must. But I will tell you, please don't put them in your strap of your backpack to go across your chest and try to squirm across a log with some... $200 Ray-Bans because they will break.
If you don't want to have cataracts when you turn 60, wear sunglasses, man.
You should always wear sunglasses.
I have friends of mine that are like 10 years older than me that have had cataract surgery. So it's not a joke, man. For real.
So there's a guy I used to work with that I still work with, actually. He went to Colorado and he was doing a 14er. And he didn't have sunglasses, and he got snow blindness. And he couldn't see.
You gotta protect your eyes, man.
Yeah, he couldn't see.
Should always have sunglasses.
No, I agree. And hopefully he had sunscreen. We didn't talk about that. But his issue was really his eyes. And he went into a doctor in Colorado. He was doing 14ers. And the doctor said, the only thing that's going to really help you right now is to go to a dispensary.
Oh, toke it up.
So he went to dispensary and he got some brownies. He was not a pot smoker. I don't think he...
I like where this is headed, though.
Yes. he was not somebody that really smoked pot. I don't think he really did much at all.
You know, I can't condone smoking pot, but I can condone sunglasses.
Well, here was the problem ran into.
I condone smoking.
We know you do.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of thought it was common.
Not that I do, but I think there's medicinal.
This is a man that will not wear sunscreen that may partake.
So if I can reiterate, sunscreen bad, sunglasses good.
Mm. Yes.
or to be even more blunt, sunscreen, pussy, and
pot good for everyone.
Sunglasses, not pussy.
Pot makes everyone happy. Okay.
Or let me put it.
Okay, let's move on.
Sunscreen pussy, sunglasses cool.
Oh, well, you haven't heard the best part of the story, though. So he goes to a doc. The doc's like, look, you're going to be in pain. You got a lot of pain coming.
So smoke, eat all the pot you can eat.
Go to a dispensary.
Back it up, buddy.
Get your eyes taken care of. But the problem is he was not used to.
He didn't eat one too many brownies, did he?
Yes. Yes, he did. And unfortunately for the entire kitchen, for the people he was with, he went through every bit of food in the entire kitchen in a single night when they went out to dinner. So that would be potentially a rookie mistake.
I cannot imagine if that event had taken place in the backcountry with a limited amount of food.
Yes.
Good boy.
That could be a crisis.
Never take only one medicinal brownie into the backcountry.
That's true. All right.
That would be a rookie mistake.
So we've established that sunglasses are crucial.
Cool.
That sunglasses are depending on the circumstances.
That sunscreen is dependent. Sunglasses are crucial.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sunglasses are crucial. Sunscreen depends on the circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
And where we are with lots of tree cover, maybe you don't need it as much.
That would be correct.
Okay. All right. So, Thermrider, I would like to ask you a question. And
yes.
There's a very good chance that we will edit this entire discussion.
Okay.
But I would like to ask you if you have ever partaken in edibles and it has resulted in you clearing out every bag of Doritos in the house.
Edibles. Yes. Doritos, no. But... So what's the question?
Would you eat 7-day-old cheese on a medicinal?
So for edibles, yes. I think the deal is everything tastes better on edibles. I mean, it's like, what would you eat? What would you not eat?
Does that help your eyesight, though?
Actually, I do see a lot better.
Would fungus qualify as
edibles? When I'm eating edibles, yes.
Okay.
Next question.
You asked me.
So
don't ask me questions you don't want answers to.
So the next question actually gets to overconfidence. And that is, has it ever cost you? Like, you're overconfident in a hike. So you you don't take a map. You don't
yes.
plan appropriately.
Yes.
Do you guys have a good story around where you were overconfident?
Yeah, I had a group turn on me, actually.
Mm.
A whole group?
You've actually told this story before.
Yeah.
Tell it again. For the studio money.
You had a group trust you?
Oh, yeah. Well, first mistake. Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake one. They trusted Thermrider.
Hey, Thermrider, plan a trip for us. Oh, yeah.
Trust this guy.
Yeah. Well, I was younger. I was in my 20s. And we were going on the Appalachian Trail. And I went by the guidebook on a trail that I'd never hiked before. Which, by the way, if you want to guide somebody out and you want to take a group, you might want to have hiked that trail before.
That's great, great advice.
I'm just saying. So that would be advice number one. It's like, if you want to take a group out, hike it, do reconnaissance, know exactly what you're getting into, and then that's when you take the group on the hike. Well, I read about it. Just like, kind of like what this podcast. It's like, we're throwing out, you know, a lot of suggestions, but, you know, you might want to get some real-world experience before you actually do certain things. Well, I read about...
Wait, by real-world experience, you mean actually go do the hike first, right?
Yes, especially if you're saying, okay, I'm going to take a group out and say, everyone follow me, go do the hike first. Don't say follow me if you've never done it before, because you know what? It's your first experience, too, and that means you're not the leader.
You're just a douchebag.
You're just the guy that put the group together.
So if you're going to lead a group, you need to be prepared, is what you're saying.
Not only prepared, but know the terrain and know exactly 100% what you're getting into. So I think from a rookie mistake, I think a lot of people go out, especially it's like, oh, I'm going to go and impress a group or impress my girlfriend or whatnot, and they don't do the homework first. Again, I read someone's write-up. This was my mistake, and it was one that I did in my 20s, where I read the write-up about on the Appalachian Trail about a hike, and they said, oh, it's a 10-mile hike. The first 2 miles is a little bit difficult. Moderately difficult, and then the remaining 8 are easy, right? Dude, it was supposed to be an easy hike, 10-mile hike. We're 8 miles in, and it's 5. We've been hiking all day. Nobody has anything left. I said, okay, we are almost there, and they're like, screw you on almost left. And so, I mean, literally, they turned on me. Like, kind of like, what is that, Lord of the Flies? I thought they were going to start fashioning wood and about to kill me with it, all right?
So you were over it.
Like maybe they should.
No, I mean, we were all over it. We were all done. I mean, I was done at, like, 2. We were all done by 3.
So
and then I was pushing them, and then by 5, I mean, we were really done, you know, and I was like, just a little bit more, but it was because I was trying to get them to where we need to be so that we could get to our connecting point the next day.
Thermrider, did you overcommit your group?
Did you have edibles before this happened?
Several mistakes. I overcommitted my group. I relied on a write-up on someone that I didn't know, that I've never met before, and
you hadn't hiked this section before.
Never hiked any of the section before. I mean, I did no reconnaissance on it, and I took a group out there. It's like, no, you need to do it yourself first. You really do, before you take a group out.
I agree with that. I mean, you got to know where you're taking, especially if you're responsible.
For... Or at least say, okay, guys, we're going to go out on a hike. All right. This is what I read about. This is the write-up. This is where it is. It's a little bit different now. I mean, this was 20 years ago. Here's the topo because I pulled up, you know, and there's like, you know, mapping services now. And this is the topo. I've never hiked it before, but I've heard it's a good hike. We're all going to go explore it together. It could be, you know, moderately to hard or whatever. It's a little bit different now than it was back then. Back then, it's like I'm looking at a map that tells me nothing other than this is a forest area, you know. So it's a lot different now. It's kind of like saying in 1983, I had this big 2-foot phone against my ear saying, hey, man, I can talk to you on top of this mountain. Isn't this cool? I can't believe I'm talking to you versus today everybody has a smartphone next to their ear. I mean, 20 years later. So.
Let me defer to Beer Run.
Thank you.
So Therm Rider took a group out. It didn't sound like...
They sound ill-planned and ill-conceived and generally ill-executed.
What is the rookie mistake learning exercise there?
First of all, don't
follow your
Therm Rider. You know where you're going. Make sure you know who you're taking. And make sure that you can get them where they need to go.
And their skill level.
I made a mistake when I was in middle school.
You wait. Beer Run made a mistake in middle school?
Yes.
Tell us.
I was with a group, and the group suggested that we could go out a different way than we went in, a different trail. And I had some vague familiarity with the route. This was in Cahutta, near the Jax River.
North Georgia.
Yeah, so we took the lower river crossing below the falls, and everything was good. I knew basically where I was going, but I missed a turn. And kind of wandered off into nowhere. And it took me 15, 20 minutes of floundering around in the woods backtracking to get back where I was. And I fear it may have affected my chances with a certain lady.
That's when your overconfidence can cost you.
I don't know that it was overconfidence. It might have just been misinformation from the group leader. But I did end up, I wouldn't say getting lost, but missing the trail for about 15 minutes.
You know, 15 minutes is very different than 2 days being lost.
You know, when you're 12 or 13 years old, 15 minutes seems like a long time.
You were 12 or 15? That was young.
13.
Wow. Yeah, nice.
I was 7th or 8th grade.
Ooh. Overconfidence can cost you.
Yes, it can. Just you know, accepting that challenge and hey, I can do this trail I've never seen before, and I'm only 13 years old. Sure, I got it.
So, Beer Run, I got to ask you because you were busting my chops in rookie mistakes too about poor packing. I made the statement that a great way to avoid poor packing was to make a list. And you busted my chops on that, and
so did I.
Wait, Therm Rider. I thought that you packed with a list.
Absolutely, do not pack with a list.
You don't pack with a list?
Never have.
Really? No. I'm the only one.
You are the only one.
I'm gonna call both of you guys rookies for not packing with a list.
Let me explain something to you, Bird Shooter. Yes. There are, first of all, very
a little
few
bit ADD. I'm just saying.
Essential things that you have to have. And there, those things are things that I would never leave my house without. But second of all, those things should stay either in one little package or in your pack.
At all times.
Right. Why would you take the lighter, the fire starter, the essentials that you need, flashlight or headlamp, why take them out of your pack? Leave them in there.
So you're a fan of having your gear just already kind of ready.
Exactly. You never know when you need to go in one place.
I have a place in my basement where I stow everything together. I have it on three different shelves. and then I pick and choose what I want. I have one
the
gear.
Only thing I, really
I
have
one
to
bag
add.
That has the essentials for every trip, and then I kind of look at what I have and what I need just based on that bag, and I eyeball it.
I think we've
and
covered.
I never show up missing
the,
what I need.
The Thermarest.
You're right. We've talked bag, about this, and I won't belabor the point.
The
but
pillow, in my case, because I am a bit of a, I'm a little extravagant when it comes into backcountry. And the heel knots. You throw those in your pack. Everything else is extra.
I stand by my statement, though. If you don't have a list, you're going to forget something.
Why?
Mr. Bird Shooter.
Dude, I promise you. I promise you, you're going to forget
have
something.
Have I ever forgotten an item in all the times that we have camped together? One time, I forgot my camping pillow. And I did not forget to pack it. It was on the seat of my car. I just forgot to stuff it into the backpack.
One time, I forgot the
drain. Other than that, I have never forgotten
the drainage pipe on the water bag that I had for the camp. Did not make it in because I intentionally was trying to dry it out because it had a little bit of a green edge to it. So I like scrubbed it big time, cleaned it out, made sure it was thorough, and I hung it on my car, the window of my car, making sure that it would make it into my car.
I will challenge you, Bird Shooter, to say that if you're not experienced enough to know that you need to take, don't go.
You made that comment earlier. I stand by my packing with the list, and we won't belabor this point, but fair enough. So moving on to another rookie mistake in the Backpacker Magazine article, getting separated. Have you ever been separated from someone in your party?
Yes.
Yes.
What happened? Who's got the
the
you guys both said immediately.
Should be hung by their heels and dipped in the river.
But it happened for a reason.
It happens quite often.
So you know, why did it happen, though?
It's a good question.
I mean,
if I knew the answer, I would not have had to beat them severely.
So I can give you an example. We were going to Stratton Bald, North Carolina. We had a group that was in the front and a group that was in the back. And there was a woman that we were with her dog. And she was right between the front and the back party and took a wrong trail, and vanished. So we all get to the car. She's not around. We know she's lost. We had to basically send a group to find her. And it was an innocent situation, but what do you do to prevent something like that? Anybody could make that mistake.
You know, Bird Shooter, in the days of GPS and
I disagree. You can get separated no matter where.
Well,
you're
I understand that, but there were times when people could function without all the modern conveniences.
So
I would say I will meet you in LJ at the Dairy Queen at 11 o'clock, and I had no way, other than 3 days prior having talked to you on the phone, to change that plan or to find out where you were. So I went to the Dairy Queen in LJ at 11 o'clock, and that's where I sat. And if you didn't show up in 2 hours, I left.
So
I either continued on my journey or I went home.
What do you do to prevent a situation like that, though?
Well, you need to be clear and concise about where and when you need to meet.
See, I disagree with that because...
you disagree on being clear and concise on where and when you need to
meet? No. I mean, I disagree in that. I don't think you've ever had someone lost in your group like what Bird Shooter's talking about. I've had an experience where someone went down the wrong trail, but it was a very long hike. It was like a 10-mile hike, and someone took the wrong turn.
No, I've never lost anyone on that side.
But there were multiple turns along that trail to where they could have gone off in several different directions. So we all grouped up together and said, okay, when was the last time everyone saw the person? And we said, okay, there's only two different places that they could have walked that was different than where we were. So what we did is we backtracked. and there's two turnoffs from the last point that everybody saw each other. So we need two people drop their packs and hike as fast as they can to go and go down those two legs that are the wrong legs that, you know, no one else followed. And the only way you can do that is by saying, okay, hike as fast as you can and drop your pack. And then text back.
What if your cell phone doesn't work, though?
Well, if the cell phone doesn't work, then...
Well, you need to assume your cell phone's not going to work if you're in the back.
But again, I think it works the same way.
So I will tell you, the woman that we were with on this hike, the only way that we could have prevented this was...
But it's case specific.
She would have had to have a map. That's the only way. Because she didn't have eyesight on the people in front, and she didn't have eyesight on the people in the back that knew where they were going. And, I mean, that's probably one of the, if you don't have a map, you don't know where you're going, don't lose sight of somebody, right?
Exactly. I mean, we've all hiked with people who don't have experience, and you're on trail with multiple splits.
But everybody knows that if you're hiking with people that don't know where they're going, and there's a split, you stop. And you wait for the rest of the group.
We're talking about rookie mistakes. If you are a rookie.
You wait for the rest of the group to catch up to know which way to go.
Don't assume anything. Don't go in a direction you're not sure of. Wait where your decision point is.
But I think that's the question, though, or at least the answer to the question is, if you're all going in a certain direction, you're all heading there, anyone had the same endpoint or destination, then you stop, make sure that everybody's on the same.
I think if you're the leader, and if you're the leader of the group, you're responsible for everyone in the party.
Yes.
And when you hit a trail junction and you're leading, you wait.
Need to wait.
And exactly. You do not leave that point until the entire group comes there.
And you don't let the group get ahead of you.
Yes, really. Yes.
But I don't think it's just the responsibility of the leader. I think everyone in the group needs to know the destination. So that if anyone gets split up, you kind of know what to do. It's like,
well, if you're,
I feel lost, I should stop. Someone will find me.
If you're not planning a trip and you don't know the trip, and when you come to a decision point, you stop and you wait.
And you're responsible for all the people behind you.
Right.
Well, my point is, I don't think I've ever been in a group where someone, like, left me. I think it's also, if you're hiking in a group, it's the responsibility of the group to, like, keep an eye on each other. In other words, have a buddy. It's like, you're my buddy. Everybody needs to have a buddy and keep track of each other, especially if it's a new group that's never hiked together, right?
Well, that's how the scouts do it, right?
Well, and you should learn basic trail signs. You should learn how to make a mark on a trail and indicate the direction that you went, and learn how to follow the same indication someone else went. Everyone who goes out on a trail, we're assuming a lot because we
all grew up in the woods, though. But,
well, no,
I
everyone
mean,
should learn some saying. Basic trail sign. But there is a little onus on the rookies here. If you're going to go out in the woods, you do need to take some precautions, and you need to learn some
basic skills
before you go. Otherwise, don't go.
I think there's some responsibility on both parties. If you're the leader of a trip, you absolutely, if you've got people that do not know what they're doing, you cannot let them out of your sight.
No, that's 100%.
So if you're the leader, there's responsibility there. And I think the other side of it is...
I think we're spoiled because everybody that we ever hike with knows what they're doing.
No, yeah, not always.
Not always, but, you know, the other side of it...
To a certain percent, you know, we're not going to go crazy and, like, fucking, you know, if we lose the group, go crazy. We're going to stop where we are, and it's like, okay, the last time that I saw the group, I'm going to go back there. I mean, that's what you do.
There's also some responsibility from the people that go on the trip. If they don't have experience, it's a little tough, but they need to be able to take care of themselves in case of an emergency, right?
Right. And they need to sit down before they go and learn some basic trail
skills. I think this topic
learn how to read a sign. learn slippery, how to follow
a slippery slope, because it all depends on who you're talking to.
I mean, Bird Shooter and I have dealt with the Cub Scouts with 15 or 20 different families.
Yeah, but
that have no skill whatsoever.
My point is, I think
the just going to go thrashing through the brush.
The question that is being asked, it all depends on the skill level of who you're with and who you're hiking with. That's really what it comes down to.
I think at the end of the day, if you are leading a trip, you're responsible for every single person in your party. You cannot let them out of your sight. If you do, you've failed.
Right. And if they don't know the basics, you need to explain them to them before you leave the parking lot.
Yes.
You need to explain to them where you're going, what possible pitfalls there are.
Do you know anybody that takes that ownership, that organizes a party to go hiking?
I mean, I do. When I have
people, I think Virtue does.
I do. If I've got somebody with me that I don't feel confident that they know what they're doing, I don't let them.
You don't watch my ass when we go hiking.
Well, I don't worry about you.
Well, you're not a rookie.
You're not a rookie, though.
And nobody really cares if you get lost.
Well, that's true.
You have insurance, right?
Actually, my wife
said... You have
said,
a backpack.
Actually, my wife said, die. Don't get maimed. Die so I can get the full amount of insurance.
You have a tent and a thermarest. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on to something that might be more fun. Crimes of fashion. Have you ever committed crimes of fashion on the trail?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly.
I'm not kidding you. This was a backpacker magazine. It was an actually legitimate.
You know, that magazine should be disbanded.
I can give you a crime of fashion.
A crime of fashion.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
When I was, 12 years old, when we went to Tricolor Knob and the hailstorm hit us and we got poured on and the bears chased us off, I burnt the ass out of my pants. And I walked out with no ass in my pants. Is that a crime of fashion? Did I plan it? No. Did I commit it? Possibly.
I think it might be a fashion statement, especially if you ate beans that day. But,
well,
you know.
I probably did, because in those days, it was all canned food. I mean, it was probably vanilla pudding and beanie weenies.
I got you beat, though. I have a crime of fashion that I live up to this day, and I own it, and I don't want to change it.
I don't doubt this.
Oh, God. I can't wait to hear it.
Let's hear this. Did you wear a beret?
Dermrider absolutely loves to wear Tevas.
Oh, yeah. With socks.
With socks,
oh,
baby.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
All right, so, Bert Shooter, I'm assuming that your all-knowing and all-idiocy backpacking magazine has provided you with some examples.
Oh, Crimes of Fashion?
It is the worst look ever, but God, is it comfortable.
So I'll give you to your credit, Backpacker Magazine did give some crimes of fashion. They were actually, you know, I mean, we hike with kids, right?
Did
kids,
hiking with no ass in your pants have any?
That would be a crime of fashion.
That
yes.
would be.
That was a crime of circumstance.
I think they refer to that as chaps.
It wasn't a complete ass out. It was only spotty ass out, okay?
Well, it could be referred to as space pants.
No, they were actually mainly talking about hanging stuff off your pack. So you hang a compass. You know how kids like to hang a compass, or they hang a, what else? Like a water bottle, whatever, you know. Hanging a bunch of stuff with a clip.
You're not allowed to hang anything off your pack, according to these douchebags.
They were not fans of that.
I don't know why they put all the loops on the back of packs if you're not supposed to hang stuff off of it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I will give you a crime of fashion from when I was through hiking. I mean, back in the early 90s, man, people wore a lot of purple.
They did?
Yes.
Why?
Purple was popular back in the day.
You didn't even have breathables.
I mean, I'm not just talking about purple. I'm talking about purple leggings.
You did not have sweat-wicking garments back then.
To me, that seems like a legitimate crime of fashion.
Purple?
Yes.
Purple does not belong in the back of it. Unless you're a piece of purple and you are getting molested by a fox in some remote...
What does the fox say?
But that's a different story, Bird Shooter, that you have told many times.
Yeah, you have heard that story before.
The fox is getting molested by the purple man.
Unless there's a broken arrow, there should not be a piece of purple.
Yes. You know, the main beef in the magazine was more about just stuff hanging off your back.
You know, that magazine sounds more ridiculously stupid to me every time I hear it.
Yeah, that's funny. Any other crimes of fashion that you might have committed, Thermrider?
Only the
other than
bandana.
Walking nude backward down the trail for 30 minutes.
There is a nude hiking day, by the way.
Only the bandana crime of fashion under the hat. You know, the Mickey Six look, you know, with the...
He's talking about Motley
Crue.
From the crew, man. Oh, with like, the headband on
with
the top
head? With the hat on top of it. Yeah.
Is that really a crime of fashion, though?
Honestly,
it seems overkill.
I can live with that.
Since the '80s, I think it's been an overkill. But I've donned that look.
That sounds like a personal preference.
I know.
You want to wrap this up?
Can we just all come to an agreement? The Backpacker magazine's full of shit. I would like to say that.
Yeah,
for the record.
I thought that list
of rookie mistakes was kind of lame.
All right, man. We'll do one more question, then we're going to wrap it.
What's your last question?
All right. Here, Owen. Beer Run, this is one of your classics. So one more rookie mistake is bringing canned food. Do you have any comments about that?
Well, you know, back in the day, canned food was all you had as an option. I'm a little torn on that one. I've carried my share of canned food.
That seems to really upset you.
I'm not a proponent of it, but if it falls within the weight of your... I mean, I carry canned beer everywhere I go. Literally, I carry it to the grocery store, to the gas station, in the back country. But no, I mean, it kind of depends on what you mean. Would I carry a...
Wow, it's not
24-ounce can
question.
Of Hormel chili? No. When I could carry a freeze-dried package? No. Would I carry 12 cans of beer into the backcountry? Of course. So you got me a little bit there. You got me thrown for a loss.
Thermrider, have you ever carried canned food?
I do not carry canned food.
You know, as far as I know, they don't make Vienna sausages outside of a can.
That's probably true.
My point.
And they're so good. And they're so good.
And they don't make Spam outside of a can.
But my point is,
they do now.
Spam that's not in a can.
No, they actually make it in a packet now.
Really?
Yes.
I am shocked.
Maybe you should broaden your horizons.
Well, I don't eat Spam anymore.
I think my everyone's favorite food that I bring on a camp. Site is my burritos. Everybody like my burritos?
Oh yes, absolutely. Your point is you don't need canned food anymore.
My point is I'll bring the cheese. Yes. That's in a Ziploc.
I don't know that you
I bring the salsa, and you can get those in this very small contained containers to where like single serving.
Thermrider's got a point. You don't
you
really need cans.
The
there are certain I don't agree that you don't need cans, but there are still some foods. Some camp foods that if you bring in a can, like a Vienna sausage or a...
I don't bring them.
God
I don't,
forbid,
I don't.
If you're stupid enough to eat potted meat and you love it, well, bring it on.
I can't
Enjoy
say
it.
I've ever ate eaten potted meat.
For me, I don't
My
like
father
to...
father ate it.
I don't want to
ad
eat...
nauseum.
Oh, that's crazy.
For me, I don't want to eat any meat with, like, preservatives and all that. If you're doing, like, an overnight hike...
All right, we're dealing with hippies here.
You're so much better off than, like, just freezing the meat and letting it thaw on your hike than doing something canned.
I try to avoid canned food. But I'm not going to hold it against anyone who does.
You know, you had a very...
Because my roots are in canned food.
You, I was going to say, I remember a lot of stories about with you canned food.
I carried 80 pounds worth of canned food when I was 80 pounds myself.
I cannot think of a time that I've carried canned food in the last 20 years. I got to be honest.
I can't either, but I grew up on canned
food.
Why
would you? Why would you?
Yeah, a fair statement.
I've carried canned beer, though.
Well, guys, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. Veterans of the podcast, you will challenge my day.
Well, we did the best we could to keep the nuclear waste that was Thermrider's October fire at bay.
It was hot. It was hot. Thank you for pausing on the extreme fire long enough for me to
not melt your laptop.
Yes, not melt my laptop. And we will certainly be doing this again sometime.
Come on.
Therm Rider, beer run. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Into Backpacking podcast. This is your host, Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to this show, visit iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app, and give us a thumbs up or a positive comment while you're there. You can also download shows directly from intobackpacking.com. Just click the podcast tab on the main menu. Music for this show was provided by Jerris under a Creative Commons license and is titled Hillbilly Anarchy. This show is a production of Into Backpacking and is copyrighted by Into Ventures, Inc. For more information on this podcast or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at intobackpacking.com. That's the letter N, the number 2, backpacking.com.